Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. This week's stories include Goodwill warms International Human Rights Day near the Arctic Circle. Lisbon, Portugal. University students and faculty support ending forced organ harvesting in China. Arduous journey returning to Ladakh, India to introduce Falun Dafa. Award-winning artist draws inspiration from unusual experience. Journeys to the East, a Swede's connection to China, part 2. Now for the stories. Goodwill warms International Human Rights Day near the Arctic Circle. Amnesty International members in Oulu, Finland, a city about 100 miles from the Arctic Circle, launched a letter-writing marathon on December 10th, International Human Rights Day. The letters called for an end to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, which began in July 1999 and has involved crimes against humanity, such as state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting from Falun Gong prisoners of conscience. The letters written during the campaign will be sent to prisons in China where Falun Gong practitioners are being detained. Agencies in charge of implementing the persecution and the head of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping. A day before practitioners rallied in the pedestrian zone in Rovaniemi, the administrative capital and commercial center of Finland's northmost province, Lapland, to raise awareness of the persecution. Oulu, which is right on the Arctic Circle, is in darkness for about 22 to 23 hours of every day at this time of the year. However, the winter chill and lack of sun didn't keep the locals or the tourists from learning about the persecution. They read the banners carefully by the light of street lamps. Many signed the petition to call for an end to the persecution in China. Lisbon, Portugal. University students and faculty support ending forced organ harvesting in China. Over 1,000 college students and faculty members in Lisbon, Portugal, signed a petition to call for an end to the state-sanctioned organ harvesting of prisoners of conscience in China. Falun Gong practitioners in Portugal launched a campaign to raise awareness of China's forced organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience, the majority of whom are Falun Gong practitioners. Their efforts won the support of school administrators who gave them permission to air informational videos, distribute materials, and collect signatures on school premises. A law student, thank you for this opportunity. A law student in Lisbon provided an area for Falun Gong practitioners to air the award-winning documentary David and Goliath on November 24th. One student was in tears when he signed the petition. When a practitioner thanked him, he threw both his arms in the air and said, "I thank you very much for this opportunity to help rescue those detained in China." Two other students wanted to sign the petition, but were running late for class. The practitioner told them, "Don't worry, your professor will still be there." Human rights is part of your mandatory curriculum. This issue of organ harvesting is very much related to your studies. The students agreed and signed the petition before hurrying to their classrooms. Liberal arts dean allows extra day for a signature drive. The dean of a liberal arts school heard about the persecution in China and the forced organ harvesting and allowed the practitioners to hold their signature drive at the entrance of the school lobby. He also told them, "If one day is not enough, I will give you an extra day." A student from Brazil cried after watching David and Goliath. She was confused, however, because of some of her classmates who had studied Chinese at the school's Confucius Institute had told her negative information about Falun Gong as a result of the influence by the Chinese communist regime's hate propaganda. The practitioner explained that the Confucius Institutes are mouthpieces of the Chinese Communist Party, CCP. The party vilifies Falun Gong to justify its violent suppression of the group in China. Meanwhile, Falun Gong is gaining popularity in the rest of the world, where increasing numbers of people are taking up the practice. Upon hearing this, she indicated more interest in learning the Falun Gong exercises. Practitioners also collected signatures at a medical school. Many nurses and doctors in the hospital affiliated with the university gave their signatures to help those being persecuted in China. Arduous journey returning to Ladakh, India, to introduce Falun Dafa. Ladakh is situated in the Himalayas in northern India. The awesome natural landscape is tranquil and invigorating. The ravages of tourism are apparent. But what is heartening is that the local people are pure-minded, and in many regions they still practice their ancient culture and rituals. A Falun Dafa practitioner from northern India has visited Ladakh every summer for the last 23 years. For the past several years, she has brought materials to introduce Falun Dafa in schools and to the public. Her journey involves hard work and expense, which includes packing and sending over 100 kgs, about 220 pounds, by cargo. The rising costs in the Ladakh and carrying heavy loads to schools and elsewhere. The only means of transport are local buses and taxis, not cycle or auto rickshaws as in most other parts of India. When considering whether or not to return there this year, she remembered what a practitioner said during the New York Fa conference this year. It is better to suffer hardships now than to have regrets later on. Schools welcome Falun Dafa. She visited 15 schools in Ladakh, a few for the first time and others for the second, third, or fourth time. Children were shown the Falun Dafa exercises, and they quickly learned all five of them. They also learned about the persecution in China, watching short films on an iPad, and looked at the display of posters and banners, often singing Falun Dafa How, Falun Dafa is good. Most of these children were eager to learn and very enthusiastic, and many teachers also participated, welcoming the practitioner to back their schools. The children called out Falun Dafa or started to sing Falun Dafa How. One could truly sense a difference in schools where Falun Dafa had been introduced in the past. Many children remember details of the exercises about the persecution and especially the song Falun Dafa How. While watching films on the persecution of practitioners, such as China, July 20, 1999, children and teachers had tears in their eyes, and they showed deep concern and sympathy. Looking at the posters that had to do with the persecution, they often asked, "Is this really true? And is this still happening today?" This year, the children were delighted to see many new posters, which were put up in every school. Short films about the Divine Land marching band captivated the children, and you could see the joy on their faces. Grateful students and teachers. Some of the children expressed in very moving words how much they appreciated Falun Dafa. One boy said that his stomach pain disappeared after doing the fifth exercise. For the first time, the five Falun Dafa exercises were taught in a teacher's training institute. The teachers were as enthusiastic as the children and invited the practitioner to come again. They said that they wanted to continue practicing the exercises. Most of the teachers signed the Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting petition. A teacher said there was a song competition in her school where the children had to sing songs from A, Z alphabetically. When it came to F, a child sang Falun Dafa How. Poster display and distributing materials. This year, a display was held in the main bazaar. Though this street was under construction, many people came to see. The 2012 Shen Yun Orchestra DVDs were distributed for the very first time in Ladakh. A school principal watched it right away and appeared very moved by it. He said he would definitely show it to his students. Orchestras are totally unknown in Ladakh, and most people have never heard or seen an orchestra. At an event, a police officer on duty shook the practitioner's hand and said, "Falun Dafa is good," and then added emphatically, "Falun Dafa is very good." Falun Dafa posters put up years ago can still be seen in many places in Ladakh. Some new ones and Shanyun 2014 calendars were put up this time. Origami lotus flowers were happily accepted and treasured, as well as a variety of flowers and informational materials. The practitioner also visited and distributed informational materials to government officials, hospitals and clinics, libraries, and the judges of lawyers of the only court. As usual, the locals were helpful, informing other officials, friends, family members, schools, etc., and passing on informational materials. At the end of her Ladakh visit, the practitioner realized that, in spite of all the hardships and the heavy loads to be carried to all the schools and many other places, it is better to suffer hardships now than to have regrets later on. Award-winning artist draws inspiration from unusual experience. Mrs. Wang Jing's On the Ladder to Heaven recently won the Silver Award at the 2014 International Figure Painting Competition by New Tang Dynasty Television, NTD, in New York. This is her second award from the competition. Her return won an honorable mention in 2008. Mrs. Wang has lived in a few different places in China. She learned painting at a young age. She managed to join the high school affiliated with the Academy of Fine Arts in Huangzhou, Zhejiang Province, and earned a college degree from the Academy in 1998. Often smiling with sparkling eyes, Mrs. Wang comes across as a warm-hearted woman. In her demeanor, there's no trace of the brainwashing, torture, and forced labor she experienced in China. She introduced her painting, explaining how a girl has understood how to be a good person and the meaning of life upon reading the Falun Gong book, Juan Falun. Layers of heavenly scenes unfold before her eyes. She is enveloped by compassionate energy. Her face shows joy and gratitude. Her belief in Falun Gong grows firm. I have always wanted to depict such a joy, a real experience that every Falun Gong practitioner has lived at one time or another, she said. This is the key to understanding why such a large group of people can persevere in their belief even in the face of brutal persecution in China, because they have truly lived and felt the magnificence and beauty of Falun Gong. Mrs. Wang had such an experience while imprisoned for her belief at Shandong No. 1 Women's Labor Camp. Guards ganged up on her and surrounded her while yelling, slapping her, and hitting her in the head. They deprived her of sleep for several days in a row. She was beaten to the ground. A tall man pinned her down, grabbed her hand, and forced her to sign a guarantee statement renouncing Falun Gong. The joy of cultivation and higher awareness sustained her during the 3 years of suffering at the labor camp. In turn, more beauty and insights were revealed to her. She developed an understanding of the relationship between an artist's moral character and artistry. When my moral character reaches a certain realm, my technique also improved. Mrs. Wang said that she spent 4 years working on the award-winning piece. I wanted to show the inner feeling and power of Falun Gong to touch one's heart. I wanted to show the kind energy, purity, and righteousness. The choice of colors and tones for the mood were important. She said she would continue her efforts on the path of elevating my artist level and showcasing the pure and kind beauty by adhering to traditional values and artistic standards. Journeys to the East, A Swede's Connection to China, Part 2. Finance professional Yvonne came across Falun Gong in 1998 in Sweden, and her connection with China has evolved since then. Her first trip during the 1999 New Year and her second in November 2001 were drastically different as the persecution of Falun Gong in China began in July 1999. Continued from Part 1. Clarifying the truth in Beijing. The world was shocked when the persecution of Falun Gong began in China. Falun Gong had just started to spread overseas, and most people had no idea what it was. The sudden and unexpected turn of events took the world by surprise, and the international media didn't know how to respond. So they just reproduced what was reported by China's official media, and suddenly negative reports about Falun Gong were everywhere. The Chinese Communist Party, CCP regime, in China utilized the entire state apparatus to defame Falun Gong and brainwash the general public, from the central government to the grassroots level, from government departments to schools, from the cities to the countryside. Ivan thought, how could this be? This is totally wrong. The CCP is lying to deceive the world and is exporting its lies around the world. Falun Gong practitioners in China were under enormous pressure and having catastrophic difficulties. Bad news kept coming out of China as practitioners were illegally arrested and detained. Ivan was extremely saddened by what was happening in China. It had only been a year, and she could still remember the magnificent scenes of people practicing Falun Dafa in China. How could this have happened so suddenly? I remember the New Year celebration in Dalian. There was a female practitioner who used to perform with an opera group in Beijing. I heard she had been arrested and had died as a result of torture in a forced labor camp. I was deeply shocked by her death, said Yvonne. It was under such circumstances that practitioners outside of China stepped forward, and Yvonne also joined in to validate the Fa. They wanted to clarify the facts about Falun Gong to the world's people, to expose the lies told by the CCP, and to safeguard the dignity of Dafa. Because the regime cut off all channels for foreign correspondents to interview Falun Gong practitioners in China, practitioners outside of the country started to take action. Many Swedish practitioners went to the U.S. to speak out for Falun Gong to the international community. Yvonne and a few other practitioners took a big risk and went to Beijing. It was a completely different situation when they got there in late 2000. They could no longer see the magnificent scenes of practitioners doing the exercises together. Practice sites in the parks were empty, and fear and tension filled the air. Yvonne's heart was heavy. We thought about what we could do. We went to Tiananmen Square many times. The police didn't recognize us because we wore different clothes each time. We also went to the Great Wall, taking with us many small paper slips on which were written messages in Chinese, such as Falun Dafa is good and stop the persecution. We placed the paper slips in cracks in the wall, thinking that if tourists saw them, they would learn the facts. When we traveled by taxi, we placed paper slips in the taxis. We had many of them and put them everywhere we went. China is a strictly controlled system. Practitioners from outside of China tried to use whatever channels they could find to clarify the facts about Falun Gong and expose the persecution. We had benefited so much from the practice, and the least we could do was to step forward and help our fellow practitioners in China and give them hope, Yvonne said. In November 2001, several Swedish practitioners thought about going to Beijing. When they asked Yvonne, she said without hesitation, "I'll go." It was a very risky thing to do. They kept their plans secret from everyone except the participants. They made their own travel plans, and the only information they had was the meeting time and location. We found our own travel agencies, went to Beijing with our own tour groups, and did the usual sightseeing in Beijing. One day, our tour group didn't have any organized activities, and that was the day we planned to gather at Tiananmen Square. It was an amazing coincidence. My roommate and I felt a bit anxious because we were going to participate in something very important and also very risky. We didn't know what would happen to us. At Tiananmen Square, the Western practitioners who said they would come gathered together. They gathered at the square as a group at 2 p.m. and unfolded a large banner with the eye-catching characters, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. People were shocked by what they saw. Within 20 seconds, police and police vans rushed over with sirens wailing. The square was in chaos. Falun Dafa is good. The whole world knows it. America knows. Europe knows. Falun Dafa is good. A Western practitioner broke away from the police and shouted from the bottom of his heart. His voice resonated over the square. We had planned to unfold the banner as a group and then take the subway to do some shopping and have something to eat. We never expected what happened to us next, Yvonne said. Many police cars rushed over to us, as did a large white bus. Police officers charged at us from all directions and hit some of us. I was holding the banner from behind, so the few of us were the first to be pushed into the bus where we were locked in. One practitioner reminded us that we shouldn't be there. I put one foot out the window and jumped out. I was wondering how I could get to the Swedish embassy for help. But I only took a few steps before a police officer pushed me from behind. I fell down a few meters away. Several officers pounced on me. They twisted my arm behind my back, causing excruciating pain, recalled Yvonne. They pushed me into the large bus again. I was the only practitioner and felt scared. I remembered us talking about how evil and cruel the Chinese police could be before we came. There was no bottom line, and they were capable of all evils. A sense of fear began to creep over me. Just then, two male practitioners were pushed in. One was from Germany and the other from Sweden. We decided that we would stay together no matter what and not allow them to separate us. Yvonne still remembers the large bus. We were locked in there, and next to each window sat a police officer. They refused to let us near the windows, so we could not see what was happening outside, and people outside couldn't see us either. We tried to talk to the police, but they silenced us. I remember one particular police officer whose eyes looked so ruthlessly cruel and dark. I don't know what was controlling him, but he looked extremely savage. We were taken to a police station and pushed into a small room. One female practitioner started calling embassies and the media. The rest of us stood around to conceal her. The police questioned us individually and wanted to take away our passports, but we refused to give them. We demanded to see someone from our own embassies, but the police ignored the request. These Western practitioners who lived in free, democratic countries had never experienced anything like this before. It was dark and gloomy. The narrow passageway to the basement, the small cells separated by black bars and dried blood stains on the walls. On the other side of the bars, someone was videotaping them. Yvonne was overcome with fear. I knew about the persecution Chinese practitioners had endured, and my heart wrenched when I saw those blood stains, as if I could see one hand hung up, a blood-stained hand hung up on the wall. I thought we would be detained there. We didn't know when we would be able to get out. I started missing my family, thinking I might never see them again. I started to cry. Just then I realized I shouldn't cry and that I had to pull myself together. As soon as I thought that way, all my fears had disappeared. I felt happy that I had overcome the fear. Yvonne then started to think of ways to get out. The police were very rude and kept swearing at the practitioners. They knew that a number of the Western practitioners could speak Chinese, so they slandered Falun Gong to provoke them. Yvonne tried to resist such provocation. She noticed that each police officer had a number on their chest, so she thought, I will remember their numbers and one day I will take them to court. She looked at their numbers, turned around, and wrote them down on a small piece of paper, 013068, 013074, 013029, 013205. Later, the practitioners were transferred. Each practitioner was escorted by two police officers and taken to a hotel where they were questioned individually. Yvonne tried to get away, but it was impossible. I needed to use the restroom. A female officer followed me and wouldn't let me close the door. She was standing there watching me. I told her to turn around and get out, but she refused. I then said firmly, "You must turn around." She did. There was no window in the restroom. Even if you had the door closed, you couldn't get out from anywhere. I must say that they were trying to humiliate us as much as they could. In fact, they were also humiliating themselves by what they did. Yvonne wrote down more police numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. She hid the 4 small pieces of paper in her clothes. She intended to take them out of China and take these police officers to court in the future. That evening, officers from the Swedish embassy arrived. Yvonne was relieved. They were taken to the airport and then to a plane. On the plane, Yvonne started to interview each practitioner from Sweden with a cassette recorder. My name is Prejo, and I'm a nurse. I'm on the plane home right now, and I feel relaxed. My mind is empty. A lot of things have happened in the last 24 hours. We saw and personally experienced the evil persecution. The police treated us viciously. One could easily imagine how cruelly and brutally they would treat Chinese practitioners. Through our personal experience, we clearly understand the suffering of our Chinese fellow practitioners. We'll arrive in Copenhagen in a few hours. I feel very good that I'll be home soon. I'm Anne, and this was the second time I was arrested in China. The first time was really bad. I was brutally treated. I know that our Chinese fellow practitioners are suffering 100 times worse. We all felt that our trip was worthwhile, and the Chinese people will know the truth in the future. I'm Maria Salin. Look at the embassy officer. Rigmore is waiting for us at the entrance. She is very pleased that we were not injured. They pay a great deal of attention to human rights and freedom of expression. She told us that they had been looking for us for the last few days, but they never expected that they would find us this way. Yvonne also recorded her own interview. Hi, this is my recorder. We are now on the plane, and China is right beneath us. All the practitioners from Sweden are on the plane. For most of us, this has been an eventful trip and has offered us an opportunity to let go of many attachments. It's been very beneficial. In my view, the best outcome would be that the world can wake up. Although we have been treated brutally, it's nothing in comparison with what the Chinese practitioners are going through. If I have an opportunity again, I will still validate DAFA. Now I'm going to keep interviewing others and see what's on their minds. In fact, before they left the Stockholm airport, Yvonne did a similar interview because she wanted to know how everyone felt about the trip to Beijing. She had a very positive response. At the time, I didn't know why I was doing that. It was just that the day before I set out, I recorded my thoughts and feelings. When I listened to the recording I made then, I understand. We were going to do something very risky. My life is connected with DAFA. Yvonne's life became connected with DAFA the moment she started practicing Falun Gong. She has changed from a self-centered person to someone who always considers others first and has become broad and clear-minded. In order to help more people benefit from practicing Falun DAFA, she joined a local radio station and became a volunteer presenter. She called her program Falun Gong Time. She interviewed Falun Gong practitioners from different areas and kept talking with the local people. She has since taken a second job as a radio presenter. This has become an important part of her life. Yvonne says she always holds Master in the highest regard in her heart. The first time she saw Master was in a dream. She also saw Master in person at the Washington, D.C. International Fa Conference. Although I have never seen Master close up and have never spoken to Master in person, I know the power and the mighty virtues of our Master. There is nothing he cannot do. Non-practitioners can never understand this. What I want to say is that even though Master cannot be with us all the time, his teachings show us the way. Following Master's teachings in what we do is the most important. We are only trying to let DAFA take root in our hearts. All the wonders and brilliance are already there. Yvonne feels truly happy that she's part of DAFA. Her last trip to Tiananmen Square left a deep impression on her. Even though she can no longer go to China under the rule of the CCP, she never stops thinking about that beautiful land and her fellow practitioners. I really want to go back to China again, the sooner the better. I want to see my fellow practitioners not go there to be jailed. I miss the New Year celebration we had in Dalian. I miss my friends there. I know that many of them are no longer around as a result of the persecution. As for those who are still alive, how wonderful it would be if we could see each other again. I long for that day to come.
That's all we have for you this week. If you like the contents, please go to our website to subscribe to the weekly newsletter, or send your suggestions and feedback to editor@en.minghui.org. Thank you for listening.